At the bottom of our news tonight, there's been a new animal aimed in the direction of falling off the face of the earth. Yes, young black.
He did say it.
Oldest and the newest creature added to the endangered species list.
Welcome to Unsigned Hype episode 25. On this episode, I have the pleasure to talk to the incredible artist Lotzcast from Pittsburgh. Prior to her interview, I asked Lotzcast which song he would play for someone that wasn't familiar with his music yet. Lotzcast chose the song Gilead, and if you're not familiar with Lotzcast's music yet, here's a snippet of that song before we jump into the interview.
Tell you a little something about being in a bird. Yeah, let's get it. I heard there's a bomb chilling up in Gilead. We working hard, working large, night ain't a fad. Check the notes, wait, misplaced them, that's my bad. It is what it is, I say that ain't no point in being mad. No way you think you hard, cause you cussing your songs. You the first to run, when things in your life go wrong. Just cause shorties like ya, you're thinking you're the savior. There's only one king, and I can bet you he gon' save him.
This is Unsigned Hype. The song you just heard is called Gilead by Lotzcast, who's joining me from Pittsburgh today. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome you to the show. Lotzcast, why is Gilead the song you would play for someone that has never heard your music before?
Yeah, I think Gilead is just, it's a song that's a good representation of me as an artist. It has the message that I'm kind of trying to push out, but it also has that sound that I think is kind of my staple. You know, and linking up with the producer, Okra, was really cool with that. So I think it's just a really good representation of my artistry in one song. Yeah.
What's that message that you want to get to people?
Yeah, I think kind of for me, the message in Gilead was essentially trying to say to people like, hey, I'm from Pittsburgh. That's the first thing. But the second thing I wanted to say to people was, hey, this industry sometimes can, you know, a lot of people like to put on a kind of front, or they try to act like who they aren't. And the song Gilead is to say like, hey, you don't got to do all that. In fact, I'm going to call out some of that, because I had to go through that myself, like beginning to say, hey, I want to make a certain type of style or genre and be more of myself. And that's kind of what I had to go through too. So I felt like I was in a place to where I could make a song about it.
Yeah, I'm really excited to get into all these things because, you know, when we were writing on Instagram, you know, you were mentioning, you know, pieces of that journey and you kind of rebranding yourself under a new artist name. So I want to talk about all these things, but maybe we can start off with, you know, for me, something that I've also never experienced doing these interviews so far is you're wearing a mask right now. You don't want to be recognized. Why the mask?
Yeah. Originally, I'd say not wearing a mask was from insecurity. I think that was where it originally came from. I didn't really want people to know who I look like because, you know, when you get into the industry, you never know what's going to happen. So I just kind of wanted to be private. But as I got more into it and after years of making music, it became more of not only an identity, but it also became something where I was like, okay, hey, you know, if things do blow up, I want to be private for my own sake, you know, for my family's sake. And, I also don't want people to look at me more so. I want people to really see the message or really keep their focus on the music rather than the person behind it.
You know, with regards to that, you know, I know that, you know, a big inspiration to you was MF Doom, you know, and everyone who knows him knows that he also wore a mask. And, you know, these artists that do that, they have a certain mystique to them. And I'm wondering what it is about these mystical figures, in your opinion, that make them so compelling.
That's crazy. I don't know if I said that publicly. that's pretty crazy. Yeah, MF Doom, I feel like majority of all art, like it's like every artist in the modern era you can think of has been inspired by him. And looking at how he's been such a staple for so many people, that's definitely one of the things that inspired me, you know, rest in peace. And with the whole mask thing, I strived for that as well by seeing how he did it. And it just came to fruition, you know? Yeah.
Hmm. You were talking about that different, unique sound and style that you have. And I'd like to, you know, use this opportunity now to kind of dig a little deeper, you know, finding that unique sound and style. And it is definitely unique. It's not the typical kind of rap that you would usually hear. Tell me about discovering that style and also like this hesitance that I felt like you were referring to about sharing this with the world.
I originally started getting into funk music, I think, back in like, I don't know, 2016, I'd say. But I didn't really start rapping in 2020. And I was really inspired because it was like during the TikTok boom, everything was popping off. And, you know, I got into this artist named Freddie Dredd. And I was really inspired by the sound because I, like, beforehand, you know, I was making beats and I was producing, but I really liked how his stuff was unique. And he was also a producer. I thought it was cool. So I was like, man, I could try this out. Like, I could really try my hand at doing the same thing. Because this stuff sounds unique. It sounds cool. I've never heard anything like this before. And people seem to like it. So I'm like, hey, you know, I'm going to give it a shot. And I started rapping. And after that, it was kind of history. My style kind of like became first like a replication of him. But as it went on and I started to have different influences because, you know, everyone has different influences when they make music. Mine just kind of blended in with that style and it became what it is today.
Starting to rap, how long does it take you to realize that you're getting good at this?
That's a good question. I'd say like for me, it's kind of funny because I didn't even want to be a rapper when I first started rapping. I was just like, man, like, I don't know. That's a lot. But I'd say like for me, it kind of came naturally because what would happen is I would freestyle with my friends. We would throw on a YouTube beat and we would freestyle and everyone would say like, hey man, you know how to freestyle. And I was like, I mean, it's whatever. Like I didn't think anything of it, but I guess when I first started to figure out like, hey, this is actually kind of something that I can do, like I might be good at, is when I started putting out songs and people would say like, this is crazy. Like this is cool. And I think the first rap song I put out was a hook on a song that my friends were on. It got submitted to this YouTube page called Trash Gang. And it got like, my first song got like, I don't know, in like 300,000 streams on YouTube. And I was just like, okay, maybe I can try to do this.
And this aspect of trying to do something that is different from like the mainstream and what people are usually used to in hip hop, how much of that is intentional?
I'd say like it's pretty much like maybe 90%. And it's because like when I first started rapping, I tried to make stuff that was palatable to people, like kind of like dumbed down, I guess. And I just couldn't do it. Like I tried to make beats that were just like, you know, common. And I couldn't do it. Like people would say, oh, this is unique. And I'm like, I'm trying to make this simple. I come from a background where I made EDM before I made beats. And I went through the same thing in that scene. So making the switch over, I kept that electronic music influence in my production. So that's kind of what helped make it that kind of unique sound.
And was producing like, did the producing come first? Did the rapping come first? And how do you balance learning, you know, because like you mentioned earlier, this is something that is fairly new to you. You haven't been doing this for 10 plus years. How do you balance learning these two things, getting better at rapping and getting better at producing?
It was tough. It was definitely tough because making a complete switch in genre is hard because you're going in there blind. You have no clue what is like the standard. You have no clue what people want or want to hear. And I'm thankful that I had met friends that were able to show me the scene and be able to introduce me to people in the scene. But it's definitely hard making that switch. Producing for me was definitely first before rapping. Rapping kind of came second. And once I got into rap, I began to realize, okay, this is how I make a beat. This is how like I do this and structure it like this. And it just came, it became second nature. But there's times, obviously, you know, where I'll be liking, I like rapping more than producing, and I like producing more than rapping.
Something that I found interesting as well regarding your background and your style is this Japanese influence on everything that you do, both from the cover art, but also obviously in the production. I know that Danganronpa was used as a sample in the game, was used on your song Overrides. And I'm curious to hear what's drawing you to that style? What's drawing you to that Japanese culture? Why do you make that a staple of your music, basically?
I'm glad you asked. So I love anime. You know, I grew up watching anime. And, you know, I think that, like, when I got into it when I was younger, it was during a phase where people weren't into it as much as they are now. Like, you know, you go on Twitter and stuff, and no one was talking about anime back then. And my biggest inspiration, I think I wouldn't be making music at all. And I tell my friends this all the time, is there's a game called Persona, specifically Persona 4. And the music in that game really inspired my sound. And it introduced me to a lot of different types of music. And I got into this genre called Shibuya K, which is like a pop version. It's like J-pop kind of. But I got into that, and then that led me into like listening to Nujabes. And then that got me into listening to Selection. And then I got into artists like Wavy Bagels, Sands, and J-Rob, and things like that. And then I thought, dang.
Incredible artists, by the way.
Incredible artists, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was just like, yeah, this stuff's crazy. I never knew about Future Beats. I never knew about, you know, people like Monte Booker and things like that. And I was just like, wow, like, I want to get into this.
Hmm. And because you were mentioning earlier that, you know, you obviously also work with producers that produce for you.
Mm-hmm.
When do you feel like it's right to go look for a producer to work on a song with versus using your own production?
I think it's interesting. Sometimes I'll hear a producer and I'm like, I can't do this. I'm like, whatever you did, I can't do, or whatever way you do it is so interesting and unique. I want to work with you. I think our sounds would go well. And I think that's the big thing for me, is just like, I'm very selective of like what producers I work with, because I have to really be a fan first of their sound. Mm. And I think that's the big thing for me. I'm a fan of everyone I work with because I love music. So it just comes naturally to when I'm like, okay, like if like, for example, like a Monte Booker was like, hey, let's work. I'd be like, yes, 100%.
Does that come easy for you to rap on something that you might not be super used to?
Absolutely not. Yeah, no. It's tough because there'll be some artists that I really have wanted to work with, and then we'll make a beat together, or, you know, I'll get a beat from them, and it's just like, I don't know what to do with this. Like, I expected it to be different.
What happens is, what, you don't know what to do with it because you you feel like your flow is not really coming off as great on, you can't really hit the beat properly, or what's the challenge that you have in these moments?
I'd say it's definitely a flow thing, and I don't know. It's definitely like I'll hear it and I can't find a pocket, or I can't find what I want to talk about on it. And it'll go like that. And there's been plenty of producers that, you know, I've worked with, or, and I just have beats laying around because it's just like, I don't know what to do with this. But sometimes every now and then I'll go back to like a beat from like a year or two ago. And then I'll just be like, I got it now. Cause I'm in a different place.
Is it being in a different place, or is it also just like the practice that you get over the years?
I think it's a little bit of both. Yeah, definitely. I think when you work on it more, I'll be like, okay, you know, hey, I maybe could hit this flow now. Maybe 2 years ago or a year ago, I couldn't have hit this flow. Or I wasn't in the right state of mind back then when I first made this or got this beat.
Said he wanna go ahead and talk about me. I said cool, let me go and get my tea. Chill in the back, so cold, you know I'm living the dream. Sometimes I like to rap, yeah, sometimes I like to sing. Cool with my boys since way back 2016. Not from the UK, but I know some proper things. Cross from my nickname, I don't need no pain. Not from the UK, but I know some proper things. The view is nice. Sometimes I let my own little spaces there. Yo. I could do it a link or bad little queen like London Tintin. Savings went down in the sink. Flank in the east, but ain't no saint like Franklin. Boy, I'ma need your bricks. Now for me when I walk sometimes, like 21 Savage and me. Ain't gonna say my name, my bro. The gal him know, I'm already him.
This was Lotzcast's song, Proper Things. And now back to the interview. And I mean, you know, you definitely, you know, you hit your flows perfectly on your debut LP. You know, you really found your sound. Maybe, I know, we will get into this in a minute. You know, you were known as a different artist before Lotzcast. You were known as Orgasm, under which name you dropped your debut LP, Infatuation, in 2021. Tell me about the creation process of that album a little bit.
Yeah, and I could actually tie that into the current album I'm about to release. Infatuation was just, so the plan was I dropped a EP called Risque, and I wanted to keep this theme of like love, because that's kind of what Orgasm was. So I created Infatuation, and it kind of came, I think I made it in like four or five months. It kind of came quick, you know, working with the different producers, some people in my, you know, collective were on there in DCR, and working with other artists and rappers, it just came naturally. And that was a really fun project to put out. It was really cool to see the progress between my music and then getting into that LP. But yeah, definitely Infatuation was a fun one.
How did you know you were ready to put that album out? Like, what, how do you measure the response of the people and the timing as to when to put out that first project?
Yeah, that's a good question. Honestly, I don't think it was a matter of me being ready. I think the thing was, like, my goal back then was every year I put out a project. Like, once a year I put out a project in December. I don't know, it just became like a tradition. And in fact, I was planning on doing that in 2022 when I started working on my current album, Heart of Flesh. But a friend of mine was just like, you got to take your time on this. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to really take my time on this. And that's why I haven't put out anything but like two songs since December 2022.
Is there a worry that that the people are waiting on music and kind of forget about you as an artist?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's something that definitely was plaguing me in waiting to put out the project because it was just like, man, like these people are waiting for this. The people who are patients, like big ups, like for real. But it's definitely like a thought, like, you know, you see your numbers go down. You see people stop hitting you up as much, but you just continue. You just have to lock in. You just really have to think to yourself, like when this project is out, when I'm finished with this, it'll be so worth it. And those who stuck around, that's what's up. You guys are in for a treat.
How do you keep people updated? Like, what do you do to have people keep checking in on you and what you're currently doing? I mean, just social media? Are there other tactics that you use for that?
Yeah, definitely social media. I think what I've been trying to do lately is I'm trying to like dive into the Instagram game, like with reels and things like that, because, you know, I think that's what I owe people. If I'm not going to put anything out, let me at least show you guys a snippet. Let me at least show you guys a story post or a post to let you know that I'm not dead. So, you know, I try to like keep it like that, because there was points when I wasn't putting out music, I had people DMing like my other music friends, and they'd be like, is he dead? Like, is he good? And they'd be like, yeah, he's all right. He's just locking in. He's working on that album. So it's like, you know, I try to like keep that in mind, you know, not to get too into it, but also just to be like, hey guys, like I'm still working on this thing and now finally done. So it's a definitely a good feeling to be able to finish that up and everything.
Yeah. As we mentioned on several occasions, you were rapping, you were performing under the name Orgasm since you started your journey as a musician. You decided to go a different way under a different name, which is now Lotscast. You had six names that you were thinking about, I think, before you chose that one. Why the name Lotscast and why this rebrand?
Yeah. And I'm glad you asked, because I don't think I've ever said this publicly, and a lot of people have been asking me. So I think this is the perfect opportunity to talk about it. So it's kind of like I was making music and I wanted to change what I was talking about, because I was making a lot of stuff and I had multiple friends come tell me, and they're like, this isn't you. You know, I was talking about things. And I mean, I know how rap can be, you know, you're braggadocious. You talk about like life, or you talk about violence. You talk about, you know, all this stuff. And that wasn't really me. So I really wanted to change the direction I was going into. And I didn't really want to, I wanted the attention to not be on who I was. And I wanted to completely switch things up. So how Lotscast came to be was, I was talking with my dad one day, and the whole name Lotscast comes from the Bible. And it means, it's essentially making a selection from a choice, multiple choices, and giving it to God. Let God decide what happens. So essentially what I did was I had six names, and you know, I didn't know which one to pick, because there were some cool names. There was like Shawl, there was like Horeb Hill, there was Freeze Frame, Screen Tone. There was some really cool names in there. But I said, I didn't know. So I was just like, God, you know, hey, you do it. So I got a cup. Well, at first I prayed with my family about it, but then I got a cup. And we put all the names in a cup and we spread them out. And I closed my eyes and I said, God, you know, you pick the one for me. And I kind of reached down and grabbed whatever one I wanted. I mean, whatever one was there. And when I opened it, it was Lotscast, which is exactly what I just did. I casted lots. So that's kind of how that went.
So, I mean, it sounded to me like, you know, people around you had some kind of influence over you taking a different direction, and did you fully agree with that? Was that something where you immediately said, yeah, you're right?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. At first, it was really hard. It was like pulling teeth, because I knew I had to give up everything. Like, you can't, when you make a new page on Spotify or whatever, and you make a new name, you got to give everything up.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, you under the name Orgasm, you still have your Spotify profile, and you have, I think, 25,000 monthly listeners on there. So it does must feel like you're starting all over again then, right?
Absolutely. And it was tough. Like this was some, it was something that I was battling with for like months. And I was telling myself, like, do I got to do this? Do I do this, that, and the third? And it was just like, I had people tell me, like, I'm telling you, like, friends, strangers, like, your name, you got to change it if you're going to talk about this. You got to change it if you're going to do this. And I was just like, I'm talking, like, I'd go on live streams and things like that. And then there was just one moment where I was talking to someone. And I don't tell people off rip, you know, I make music because, you know, I'm anonymous. But I was talking to somebody and I told them I made music and I showed them my name and they're like, you got to do it. And I think that was like the last straw. And I was just like, you know what? Like, maybe I really do need to do this. And I just was like, the perfect time to do it is right now with this album.
And what can... Can you describe a little bit what your listeners and your fans can expect from you now performing under the new name?
Yeah, 100%. I'd say a lot of my older stuff was a lot of rap. Like it was straight up rap, you know, funk music specifically. But now in terms of lyrics, in the past, I don't know, year and a half working on the project, I think my penmanship has gotten a lot better. And I think the direction I'm going into now is more like I'm trying to give, it's more faith. Like it's about faith. I'm trying to give glory to God in the music that I'm making since he's the one who allowed me to even change this thing. And so like, but I'm trying to make, I'm trying to find this pocket, and you probably saw from the link I sent you, which was the songs from the album, the two songs from the album. And I found this pocket where it's unique, but it's also like palatable for people, you know? So I got like R&B I'm working on. I got more like rap. I got like jazz music I'm trying to tap into, I've been inspired by people like Venna and Yusuf Days. And, you know, like I got sounds like Isaiah Rashad and Mick Jenkins, you know, I've been inspired from all these different artists. And I'm like, I could finally tap into that since I'm making this new name. Because before making the new name, there was a period of time I just couldn't make any music because I was doing the same thing over and over and over again. And now, even though I was producing, nothing grabbed me until I really just said, you know, screw it. I'm going to start making music and tap into different subgenres.
But why do you believe that name limited you in terms of creative output? I mean, wouldn't you have been able to just tap into different genres and try different things under the name Orgasm?
Mm-hmm. I think the thing for me was like, it's trying to make faith-based music under the name would have been difficult because, I mean, at the same time, you're not going to get everyone's approval in whatever you do. But I didn't want to be a spark for controversy for people to where they say, hey, you know what? This person's making this type of music, but because of his name, I'm going to pass it aside. And I didn't want to like be a bad influence because there were moments with that name and I had some songs that were quite explicit and I would have kids listen to it. Like I'm talking like 5-4 years old. I don't even know how they found it, but and I was just like sitting there and I'd see this stuff and I'd be like, dang, like, I don't want to be an influence like that to people. You know, I would rather spread positivity and like, I would rather preach things to people that I think they should hear rather than, you know, things that we're already dealing with in society, like in terms of like violence and stuff like that.
Yeah, but on the other hand, I mean, that argument goes in a different direction as well. You might have people that might, you know, not believe. And I mean, all due respect to everyone that believes, of course, but you might have people that might say that the religious content in your music might not really be appealing to them anymore, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the whole point of why I did it too. It's because Like, for example, me, I grew up in the church growing up. You know, I was in the choir and everything like that. I grew up in the church. And, like, I was always into music. Like, I was, like, my parents would tell me I'd be humming songs at, like, one and stuff like that. So I was always into music. But it was, like, weird because I hated making it. Like, they tried to get me into African drums. I hated it. They tried to get me into piano. I hated it. But it wasn't until I turned, like, 14, like, or, like, high school eras when I really started making music and I enjoyed it. But the thing for me was just, like you said, my biggest problem with like faith-based music that I hear is a lot of it just sounds basic. Like you can say everything you want to say in your music, but if it doesn't sound compelling, people aren't going to want to listen to it. If I could find someone in who makes Christian music that sounds like Rod Wave, I'm just going to go listen to Rod Wave, you know? So my whole thing was, I want to be creative with my sound, but at the same time, be in that lane to where it's like, okay, this guy's different. And people on both sides can say, there's a uniqueness about this that I'm interested in hearing about.
This was Lotzcast's song, Oh Give Thanks, and now back to the interview. How would you describe yourself, that uniqueness?
That's a good question. I'd say the way I mix my vocals, I think it's unique, and I don't really hear a lot of people do mixing like this, but also, like you said earlier, with the Japanese influence. You know, I feel like that's an untapped market for a lot of people.
Is that Japanese influence still going to be a part of Lotzcast?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Definitely. I can't, you know, remove my roots. You know, I love that kind of stuff. And it's funny because in the process of making my album, Heart of Flesh, which is coming out, I really listened to a lot of like, bossa nova, J-pop, artists such as like Lamp, or, you know, some of my favorite artists like Capsule. These people who make music back in like the 2000s, and they're super small, but their sound is still refreshing. And, you know, hearing stuff like that, it kind of pushed me. And even now, like when I make my beats and things like that, or even when I find beats, it's weird. It's like I'll still have that ear for it. Like I'll hear the influence in others' music. And I'm like, they probably like Japanese content. They might watch an anime or hear two or something like that. And there you hear that influence. So I still search out for that and apply it to my own music. So.
You know, we were talking about this idea of, you know, you locking yourself in to finish up that album and, you know, trying to still keep people involved a little bit, but obviously, you know, you're not currently releasing a lot of music, and this is always like there's no right or wrong here. You know, there's artists that release a new song every week. There's artists that really want to take their time and be, again, a bit more mystical about, you know, what they do in their outputs. Do you feel like you need to increase the output, you know, with that album coming out and then even afterwards, did you need to increase that output to kind of get to that level that you were at under the name Orgasm?
I thought about that a lot. And I'd say yes and no. And the reason why I say yes and no is because while I do think that you have to be consistent, because in this industry, consistency is so important. You know, I know some people put out songs a week, some people put out songs a month, but my plan is to put out the album and ride it for a bit. You know, do content for it, music videos, vinyl releases, things like that for a bit. And then start doing singles again. But I'd say it's kind of tough because my mentality with it more so now, in the past, I probably would have been like, you know, I got to stay consistent. I got to keep doing this. I got to keep doing that. Now I'm just like resting it. And I'm just like, you know what? Hey, I'm putting out this album. I've showed people they like it from the people who I have showed. I'm going to rest in it. I'm going to let God take care of the rest. Because I'll do what I need to do, but if things don't work out, I know eventually it will.
What is your ideal scenario with all of this? What does it mean when you say when things will work out?
I think my goal here is I want people, before I'd say like in music, the one is the hardest things that we probably go through as artists is we lose track of why we started making music in the first place. And that was one of my problems when I was Orgasm. I lost track of where I was. You know, you see the numbers, you see the fans, you see all this stuff and you forget, man, why did I even do this? Was it just for fun? Was it just for that? You sometimes forget. And changing my name helped me recognize a new goal for myself. And it's to spread the message. It's really just like to make this kind of stuff. And I want people to hear it and hopefully it resonates with them. If not, cool. But at least they can enjoy the sound. They can hear the music and say, man, this makes me want to get into music, or this makes me want to do this, that, and the third. And that is probably out of all the goals I had, probably the best one, because it's something that doesn't stop. There's no end goal. You will always keep striving to reach people. And you'll always keep striving to spread the message you're trying to put out there.
And what role does success and fame and all that stuff play for you?
I never really wanted to be famous. That's why I wore the mask. Because I'm kind of like a private person. I like to live a private life. I want to have a family one day, things like that. And I see other celebrities and stuff. And I'm like, man, that's a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
that's a lot of stress.
Yeah,
I'm like, that's a lot of pressure. And I'm just like, yeah, like, I'd rather live. I mean, let's be real. Like, of course you want money, but I'd be fine. I don't need a lot of money to be happy. I don't really care too much about the success. For me now, at least how it is for me as a musician, it's really, am I getting the message I want out there? Are people rocking with it? Like, are people enjoying it? Cool. If not, you know, maybe I need to make some changes, but it's really about how I feel. So at the end of the day, that's really what it is for me now. Success, money, fame, it doesn't really matter to me. It's just working. And I guess one thing that I'd say is probably more to me is like meeting people in the industry that I look up to. Like how I said, like, you know, people like Wavy Bagels or like J-Rob and people like that. I would love to meet them. I would love to have a conversation with them. But I'd say for me, yeah, fame and things like that, it doesn't really matter anymore.
You know, with the idea of, you know, having a message and this being really important, you know, remembering the reason why an artist started making music in the first place, that's a really great advice to others who might be thinking about a career in music or who might be in the midst of starting their career. What other things have you learned on your journey that you would want to share with people?
I'd say my big one, some advice I'd give, definitely follow your gut in what you do. Because there will be a lot of times as a musician, people will tell you advice or people will tell you things like, hey, I want you to do this. Hey, I want you to do that. But you know what you want to do deep down. And especially when you deal with people, like you start to get pop and you start to deal with labels, there are people out there who will pressure you to make decisions. And you need to stay. And that's why it helps to have that goal when you first start and not lose track of that. Because that's the same thing that will keep you grounded when you get into those situations. When someone says to you, hey, I want you to make this kind of song, or hey, I want you to work with this artist, or hey. And if you say to yourself, well, I got beef with that person, I don't want to work with them. Or you say to yourself, I don't know, that's not the message I want to spread. You have to remember back of why you started. And I think that's the best advice I give. That and be creative. Don't be afraid to make something that you don't think people will like. Do what you feel is right in that regard.
When was the last time that you did something new, and the last time you dared something new in terms of creativity?
Yeah, I think for me, there's a song on this album that's straight up a bossa nova song. Just like my friend, he did the guitar, I produced the bass and everything, and that felt great because it was just like, this is so sick. Like I'm big influenced by, like I said, like people like Venna, Yusuf Days, a big inspiration for this album. I don't know if you know who Planet Giza are.
The name rings a bell for sure, but tell me about them.
Yeah, Planet Giza is they're a three-person group from Canada, from Montreal. And I've been bumping them since like 18, 19. And they got me through so much. And I think seeing their growth as an artist has really been inspirational for me and their sound. And it really structured how I had to make this album. So yeah, Bossa Nova, the Bossa Nova song definitely for me is just like the, okay, hey, you know, I'm going to just do some crazy type, you know, stuff that like people might be like, what is this? But also some people who like jazz are gonna be like, yo, this hits.
yeah, it's awesome. I mean, I can't wait to hear it. So I mean, you were referring already to Hero Flesh, you know, your next album and the work that you've been putting into to get that to the people. What else is next for you? Like, how do you envision this year for you as an artist? What next successes would you like to reach ideally?
Yeah. I think that for me, I'd like to play some more shows, you know, because that's something that I do enjoy. But honestly, it's tough. I think Heart of Flesh has been taking up so much time for me. It's like when you watch a movie, like a really good movie. And you get to the end and you're just like, man, what's next? I don't know what to do. Or like, or you play a really good video game and you're like, man, I spent like, I don't know how many hours on this whole game. What do I do with my life?
Yeah, it's like, I can imagine.
Yeah. It's just like, man, I finished this album. It's like, I finished this album. I don't know what to do next. Like, I guess for me, it's just like, I'll figure it out.
Maybe there's nothing for you to do, you know, just wait and see, you know? I mean, it'll be exciting to just watch over the next couple of months how people react to the album and, you know, doing the typical thing of looking at the numbers, obviously. Is this something important to you? You know, is this, you know, I know that you know, your song Lullaby at some point, you know, reached 100,000 streams, which is super funny. Like, I think you recorded that on a gaming headset. So it's cool to see how like these like improvised things, these trying things out, get you these kinds of numbers. You know, 100,000 people listening to that song. That's quite amazing. But how important are these numbers to you as an artist?
I'd say it's not really that important, but there's a part of you, especially like I said, when you have that goal, but there's a part of you that still is like, you want it to reach people. You know, you want to see people react to your work, to your craft. And the important thing though, and I actually was having a conversation with a friend about this, this past week. The important thing is to recognize that that's not what matters in the end, because we all get into music because we enjoy it. We have a passion for it. And whether it goes the highway or the byway or whatever way, you got to remember that even when you don't get the numbers, you still had that passion for music when you first started it. And don't get distracted sometimes if, you know, you don't get as many numbers as you thought, because you never know. You might not get numbers on that first couple weeks, but then your song will end up in an editorial playlist and then it'll blow up. So those kinds of things happen all the time. So I try not to get caught up over it, because it's just like, you never know what will happen. You never know who will pick it up. You never know if TikTok will blow it up.
Maybe as a last question, that I like to ask in these interviews is, well, what do you do this all for?
I do this all for God. I think that's the best way I could describe it now. That, and just because I wouldn't be here if it weren't for him. I wouldn't be here. Like, I just like certain opportunities that have come my way or whatnot. I try not to lose fact of how it is, because, you know, we get caught up in life sometimes. Even taking that out of the situation, we get so caught up in life sometimes, we tend to forget like the small things, you know, just like going outside and seeing the sun, or just like seeing like a dog bark down the street, you know? So I'd say for me, I'm just using the gifts that he gave me to honor him.
Lotzcast, thank you so much for this incredible conversation. I really, really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you. Me too. That was awesome.
This was Unsigned Hype episode 25 with Lotzcast. The track you're hearing right now is called Heart of Flesh. You will find the song on Lotzcast's new album of the same title, Heart of Flesh. Make sure to support Lotzcast by checking out his music and following him on social media. And for your weekly Unsigned Hype, make sure to also follow us on Spotify and Instagram. All the links are in the show notes below.
Just watch for the sun and go singing. Man, this life's so beautiful. I've been like this like every day.
Yeah.